Anyway, I promised you some good news about how to build a shithouse, chemically. Naomi Fowler reports.
We're living in challenging times for the construction industry. Worldwide, they face rising costs and varying amounts of pressure to use less environmentally damaging techniques. Each ton of clay brick they make emits the equivalent of about 240 kilograms of carbon dioxide. And there's about one ton of carbon dioxide to every ton of cement they produce. It's all far too energy intensive, and it's prolific in other greenhouse gases. So any new green product that can demonstrate it also saves time and money is likely to raise a few eyebrows. I'm at the EcoBuild exhibition in London, where Mark Nichols of Encos Limited is going to show me some very unusual bricks.
Right, so tell me what we're looking at. We've got one, two, three, four, five different types of coloured bricks, and they look like normal bricks.
Well, they might look like normal bricks, but they certainly aren't normal bricks on the basis that they've been made with recovered materials from a variety of sources, most of which would have been going to landfill, and combined with effectively vegetable oil and cured at a fairly low temperature to produce a carbon negative brick.
Right. Why are they different colours?
What you're looking at, the one at the end is from incinerated sewage sludge ash, so that's the end of the human waste chain.
That looks like a solid brown brick.
Reddy brown, as you might expect, given the nature of the material within it. But you'll be very pleased to know that it's completely benign.
Let me pick it up. Oh, yeah. Bit less heavy than a normal Victorian blue brick.
Typically, these recovered materials come out at about 15-20% lighter than their equivalents, and I guess you can get more on a truck or a lorry, and therefore you're using less carbon to transport the same amount of material effectively. The next one there is furnace bottom ash, so that comes out of the bottom of coal-fired power stations, ubiquitously available across the world and in use in many building products already, but normally bound with cement, we're binding it with a vegetable oil-based binder. We also use a proportion of glycerol as well.
So there's no cement in this, any of these bricks at all?
There is no cement in any of these bricks at all.
Right. And the one that looks like a conventional colour looks like clay but isn't, I guess?
It looks like clay because it actually is clay. That's what's not so commonly known as brick grog, which is when you get brick spoil in the brick manufacturing process. We've just acquired some to see whether our binder could work with it, and the answer is yes, it can. And then as we move along, this slightly lighter coloured brick is made out of pulverised fuel ash. And that is the material that goes up the chimneys in the coal-fired power stations in the UK, and I think these statistics probably correlate across the rest of the world. There's about 4.5 million tonnes produced every year. About 500,000 tonnes are used in the cement industry already. And the other 4 million tonnes are put into landfill or land reclamation. And so therefore what we have is an ability to divert materials from landfill and at the same time not use primary aggregates. So there's a dual benefit in terms of sustainability. Now I said I'd leave the best till last.
Now we're moving on to a kind of smudgy grey coloured brick. Looks like a brick shape, feels like a brick. But
it looks like a brick, and it is a brick, but this brick is made with rice husk ash. In a number of geographies in the world, there's vast amounts of rice husk, which is produced in the food process industry. And as a way of reducing its volume, it's burnt. And what we've done is to take a portion of that material, which we actually imported from India, and we've applied our binder to it. But on the basis that rice feeds half of humanity, we thought that that would be a very good place to see whether we could apply our technology.
So, five bricks. That's a big claim, carbon negative. Explain.
I can explain that quite easily, and I'm pleased to. Our binder basically grows in fields and takes in CO2 and puts out oxygen. It's a form of sequestration, commonly known as biogenic carbon storage. And therefore, effectively, within our products, we are storing that carbon for 50, 60 years. We get credits for that in our evaluation of the carbon rating, and hence our claim, carbon negative. To contrast that normal brick, which is in excess of 1,000 degrees C for a something in excess of 1, maybe 2 days. We have a process which is half a day at about 150 or 160 degrees C. In that process, we use no water. We have no other gaseous emissions apart from water vapor. We have zero liquid emissions, and all the materials are recovered.
And all that really matters, because energy prices are going only one way at the moment, and that's up. So quite apart from the disastrous environmental effects of cement and conventional masonry manufacture, the colossal amounts of heat and power required just aren't sustainable long term.
Tell me what your name is and what you're doing here.
My name is Dr. Stuart Shaw. I'm the Research and Development Manager for ENCOS. Most materials that we could use are sent to landfills. And with landfill sites running out, especially in the UK, they're going to have to think of new ways of being able to dispose of the material, and we offer that solution and actually making some use out of it. And locking the material away for 50, 100 years and still have the potential to reuse it after its lifespan's over instead of throwing it away afterwards.
Can you compete on cost?
We're not going to try and make them more expensive. We're not going to try and make them cheaper. What we're trying to do is offer them, the specifiers, the architects, the ability to develop a carbon neutral way of building, really.
When we talk about the vegetable oil, I've seen that you can use rapeseed oil, corn oil or sunflower oil. And you can recycle oil as well for use in your binding technique. Is that the case? So, I mean, in theory, if you went to your local chip shop and you took their oil off their hands, would that work in your process here? What's the difference?
Chemically, there's no difference. There's no difference whatsoever for our process. They're both are high in polyunsaturates, and it's those polyunsaturates that are actually the reactive part of the oil that we use the heat to activate and form polymer-like structure. Really, the only difference between pure oil and the waste oil is that you may have slightly more water in there, or you may have some free fatty acids from the meat that's been fried in, but that does not affect our process whatsoever. And we have found from our experimentation that some of the lower quality waste vegetable oils are performing better than what, say, a pure vegetable oil would do.
Why would that be?
We're not entirely sure at the moment. It could be to do with the chemical composition. You might have a bit more free fatty acid in there that may be helping to form bonds. That is currently under investigation at the moment.
There is some kind of diminutive effect of the oil on hazardous material.
Yeah, basically what happens with the oil is it's encapsulating the aggregate in a polymer. So it's reducing the amount of leaching that will come out of the product. So if you had a material that had a high pH, we could use our binder to help encase that material, and what we'd actually see is a lower pH coming out, so it'd be more of a neutral material. So instead of an alkaline material like cement is, like if you handled raw cement, it would burn you, we can actually reduce that alkalinity down. We've done testing on that using some material that was classed as hazardous, and we can see that the amount of material coming out was almost as pure as what drinking water was.
Did you expect to find that?
We suspected that it would have some influence, but I think we were surprised by the level of reduction that we saw.
Where are you expecting this product to be taken up most quickly in the world?
I think some countries have a higher degree of receptivity for novel, sustainable products.
Scandinavian countries?
I think you're getting close. I think Northern Europe is really leading the way from what we can observe, but we're very encouraged by the fact that we see some very good sustainable products in North America. I think if we look to the Far East, quite clearly products like this can offer real opportunities for sustainable and to some degree inexpensive construction and development. Given the nature of materials that we can use, we can very much help with significant development using the materials that are not coming from the ground but are already being discarded in massive volumes in a number of these countries.
This research all began at the University of Leeds Civil Engineering Department. Now this vegetable oil-based masonry has passed a number of industry tests and they're in the process of registering patents. They're also about to build their first test manufacturing plant in the north of England.
So, incinerated sewage sludge ash house, anyone? I'm Naomi Fowler at the EcoBuild exhibition in London for The Science Show.
So much for the chemistry of your house, made of rice or poo or other green stuff.